This is the B&J podcast. Parents, don't let your children listen to this fucking filth. Fucking filth. Fucking filth.
Podcast. I am Jay.
I'm B.
And we're coming to you via Skype today because we don't like Google Chat anymore.
I need to apologize to pretty much everyone who actually made it through last week's podcast because as I tweeted at Jimmy, we could have just called that one like Jimmy versus the Valium Monster. I sounded like between the sound quality and just like I was sitting in my bedroom and it was just not a good podcast on my part. So
it's okay. We all have our days.
Well, so hopefully, like, yeah, hopefully the sound quality on this one is better.
Yeah, that's all we're aiming for is the sound quality, not the actual quality to the podcast.
Look, what baby steps, okay?
We peaked at episode 6.
Seriously, that one still is my favorite, I think. Was it 6?
It was either 4 or 6.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Anyhow, so the song you just heard was an old school hip-hop song by Black Sheep called The Choice Is Yours. It's, I don't know, I'm feeling a bit retro today.
I love that album.
That's, you know, it's very, it reminds me of In Living Color and all of the Cross Colors clothing.
yeah, no, it's very like, God, yeah, that, I can't even remember the name of the record right now, but that album with that one, there's a few other really good songs on there. I really like Black Sheep, so.
Yeah, no, they're really good, and it's very, it's really jazzy. It's a very jazzy version of hip-hop, so it was before the whole gangster rap trend started to really take hold, so, yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
And part of the reason why I'm feeling a bit retro today is, as I have an ice cream person card coming outside my window, it's you emailed, not emailed, but on Facebook, shared the story about New Colossus, Twisted Colossus.
Yeah.
Which, it looks pretty fantastic, actually.
I do too. So there'd been this story for a while when from the time they announced the Colossus closing, the rumors started flying that it was that they weren't gonna completely tear it down. That they were gonna be a company called Rocky Mountain Coasters was gonna be retrofitting it, which they'd done a couple of other, I believe, a couple of other wood steel hybrids.
Yeah.
One of which was a ride that I've actually gone on because it's in Branson, which is Outlaw Run, which is the first wooden roller coaster to do an inversion. First modern one to do an inversion. So
did you run into Wayne Newton while at Branson?
Wayne Newton isn't in Branson. Wayne Newton is in Vegas.
How about Andy Williams?
Andy Williams is dead, I think, isn't he? He wasn't last time I was in Branson, but he was too sick to perform. So,
so no Moon River by him?
No. So I have actually, to derail this completely, I have actually I've seen a few shows. I saw the Lennon Sisters, who are great. And then I saw, when my mom first announced that she was moving to Branson, one of the things I kept harping on was the fact that Yakov Smirnov has his theater there and does his routine. I was obsessed with the idea of going to see Yakov Smirnov, like,
God bless America!
Oh, man. So, you know, like, if you think you like Yakov from his comedy routines and his, and Night Court, understand that the Branson show is about, like, 500% more, Reagan-era, you know, like, mostly non-offensive but kind of religious-tinged humor. It's not... There wasn't anything, like, super racist. The crowd is super old, though, as is most of the crowd.
Well, it's Branson.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was just, like, it was also really conservative.
Of course.
Yeah. Which, again, is kind of par for the course in Branson. It's just weird. Like, if you ever, we're going to talk, I know, a little bit about Disneyland later, but if you ever have been to Disneyland and know of the Golden Horseshoe Review, like, imagine an entire city where all of the entertainment is exactly like that, but not quite as good.
No, okay, so going back to Disneyland and whatnot, so in one of your dispatches this week, you're talking about how, you know, Disneyland is just this polished sort of, you know, mecca, whereas Magic Mountain is this nitty-gritty, just, it's just what it is.
It totally is. And, I mean, and it's, and in some ways it's really great, honestly. There's a, you know, there's, there's less bullshit that you have to deal with. And when they do put on a good show, and I mentioned this in the newsletter too, is that when they do put on a good show, is at Halloween, they go kind of balls out and do this really cool temporary decoration of the place. So it's not like they don't know how to. It's just kind of like they don't really see the point in bothering.
I think the great part about Magic Mountain is all the rumors about all the gang violence there, because it really brings down the attendance. And so you're basically around people who you can tolerate being around, you know? Like, you know that they're not scared off by the, you know, there's no white scare type of thing going on, you know, there's no white man's paranoia. So you can just sort of relax a little.
Yeah. From a standpoint of, we put a lot of thought and effort and, care into creating this fantasy world for you to inhabit, like, Magic Mountain fails utterly. It's hot. You have to go through a lot of metal detectors to get inside. The crowds are very, very mixed in terms of age groups, whereas at Disneyland it tends to be more families. They're a lot more like a lot more like surly teenagers and solo adults around at Magic Mountain, as opposed to and people on dates. Disneyland, at least when I used to go, had just such a higher preponderance of families.
Well, as quoting Cecil B. Demented, family's just a dirty word for censorship.
And I don't want to knock Magic Mountain at all, because I spend a lot more time there than an adult man should. But it's great. It's we go for Magic Mountain because it's kind of close. Like we usually go at least once a month, maybe once every 2 months, and just go for a couple of hours and get on about 5 or 6 rides, which are all great, and then leave before we have to wait in line for more than 5 minutes for anything.
You're such a bougie Magic Mountain user, I guess would be the term.
But the other thing about it is, you know, I mentioned this in the newsletter too, is that, you know, when I had the Disney Pass, it was about $120 a year, which works out to about $10 a month, although you had to pay for the whole thing all at once, without the parking add-on. The parking add-on doubles that price.
Yeah.
But the Magic Mountain one is about a little bit less than that.
They're running a sale on it right now, so I think it costs just as much as a regular admission, so it's like $70. Mm-hmm. And the sale, I guess they're running, it's also for next year, so it goes to 2015, and you get free parking and you get admission. You get free parking for all Six Flags parks. I think it's something like that.
So if you get the Gold Pass, if you get the Gold Pass, that's the one that gets you into any Six Flags, free parking at any Six Flags.
Yeah, that's the one they have the sale for.
And you get Hurricane Harbor and Magic Mountain.
Yeah.
The one that we have is the Thrill Pass, which is and then I pay for the parking on top of that, and it still is. I pay for mine. I pay for Faith's, and I pay for the parking, and altogether it's still less than I pay for Netflix every month. And it's the other cool thing about it is it's billed monthly, so you don't have to plunk down a whole bunch of money all at once. And there's once you go over a year, you can cancel at any time. I think it's one of the best entertainment values, because the other thing I didn't really mention in the newsletter, which is kind of awesome about having a pass like that, is that anytime you're having kind of a shitty day, or you just I really want to go ride a roller coaster, you can just go do it, and it's kind of a casual, it's much less of a sort of separate magical experience than it is when you when you're a kid, especially, and you have to you have to really cajole your parents in, and you only get to go maybe once a year if you're lucky.
So hooray Magic Mountain, and hooray Twisted Colossus.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
Yeah, and fuck Matthew for making fun of being in awe of this video simulation, but you know, it looks cool. I'm excited for it.
Matt is just disappointed, and I think justifiably so, that you can't shoot each other with squirt guns or, you know, like, actually, like, molest one another in the other trains.
Well, he's a dipshit shithead, so of course he would say that. So another thing in your one of your dispatches is you, I think it was yesterday's, driving around aimlessly in high school.
I think it was from a few days ago, but yeah, that was, I mean, that was pretty much, once I got my license, that was my pastime.
Wasn't that the greatest thing, though? I mean...
Well, the kids today have it, so, like, it's ruined for them, because they can't be out, like, past dark or something without a parent, or without...
Really?
Like there's all these, like, weird restrictions on California license, on California licenses for people who are under 18 now, yeah. Like, you can never be out after midnight,
What?
Oh, it's so ridiculous. And, like, I used to drive around all night, basically. Like, we would, you know, I'd be out until 2 or 3 in the morning.
Okay, so I basically did the same thing myself, but I was mostly in the South Bay area. And you're trolling Eagle Rock, the Valley?
And this is another reason why I drove a lot, was because I had, at the time, I was going to school in Reseda and living in Eagle Rock.
Oh my God.
And all my friends lived in the Valley, or most of them. I had a couple of other friends who lived on the west side, but I didn't have anyone who I was very friendly with who was really local to me.
So where would you drive around a lot? Like, when you imagine those days again, like, where are you driving by?
So weirdly, like, I dated a girl in my senior year of high school who lived in around, sort of near, like, Pico and Robertson.
Uh-huh.
And so from where I lived at the time, the best way to get there, and traffic patterns have changed a lot since the late 90s, but, like, the best way to get there at the time was to go, as long as there was no Dodger game, to go up and over take the 5 South, go cut through Elysian Park, cut through downtown down to Pico, and then go all the way over to the west side. Like, that was better than taking the 110 and the...
Yeah.
And the and it's weird to think that now, because I would never go that way now, because it would be just a disaster. But, that's, like, that was probably the route I took the most, and also because I had a friend who lived not too far away from there, who I would see a lot, and I would hang out a lot at Nova Express, which was, like, basically for us in high school, that was the place to hang out if you were in the city and not in the Valley. And there were a lot of other places in the Valley, mostly coffee places, because that's where you could kind of hang out until late. They were open until late. There were a lot more places that were open all night at that point, or open until 2, that didn't serve booze, that you could hang out at if you were under 18.
Yeah, those were such nice places. So, like, for me in South Bay, like, my hangout was this coffee shop, Yesterday's, in Redondo Beach. And I remember I would just be driving up and down PCH along Redondo Beach, Hermosa Beach, Manhattan Beach. And then I would get out to the 3rd Street Promenade in Santa Monica. I was there a lot for some god-awful reason. And then there was, and for, like, late night coffee, there was this place in Venice, Van Gogh's Ear on Abbot Kinney.
I love Van Gogh's Ear. I miss that place so much.
Me too. And it was before Abbot Kinney was the Abbot Kinney, you know?
Yeah.
Like, before it just bougified before our eyes, basically.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I remember they had the best names for their sandwiches, you know, the Pee Wee Herman, you know, it was cute. It was a very fun place. And
Yeah, that place was super rad. And again, one of those coffee places that was open until really late. That was another place that I would drive a lot was to the beach, to the ocean, and to the beach to just sit on the beach and smoke all night until like really, really late.
Oh, the good old days.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. It's weird to be nostalgic for that period.
And it's weird that kids aren't able to do that anymore.
Yeah, that's kind of shitty, honestly.
Like, I feel bad for them.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's a lot of, like, bad behavior that was associated with that for me, but at the same time, like, it was definitely, like, the least terrible thing I was doing at that point in my life was, like, driving around aimlessly.
You know what was also another great little strip to drive along is after the 90 freeway and you're driving towards Marina Del Rey, just that whole strip, I think, it's like, especially on a warm summer's night, you have your windows down and you're blasting your music. That was always a fun drive also.
That was, the other one that I would say a lot would be Mulholland, pretty much all of Mulholland.
Oh, yeah.
And especially up and over Laurel Canyon, because... you know, like, two of the people that I hung out with the most, and especially when I would go out to the valley, Karina didn't learn to drive until she moved back here in her late 20s.
What a loser.
So, so like, so I would hang out with her a lot, and I'd go pick her up, and we'd drive over to the city, and she lived just off of Laurel Canton Boulevard. So I would pick her up, and then we'd go up and over, and hung out a lot more on the west side at that time, because there was a lot more, especially like if you were going to see a movie or something, there was a lot more options.
Yeah,
and a lot more stuff that was open later. Like, the east side used to be, this is going to be weird for anyone who's moved here in the past 10 years, but like the east side used to be kind of dead at night.
Yeah,
in a lot of cases, like, except for bars.
Yeah, I think the only exception, like, Silver Lake had its thing going, but for the most part, like, there was really no use to ever go into Hollywood, or, like, downtown LA was just a ghost town at night.
Yeah, I mean, there were still some things, but, like, even, like, Hollywood is a little bit more sketch in the 90s, too, and, like, the sort of... It wasn't as inviting for the kind of stuff that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I would be like, you know, go see a movie, go to the beach, go to, you know, go get coffee somewhere late, or just drive around.
You know, it really is weird just how much things have changed in 20 years in this city, just because, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you can catch a movie in downtown. You can, you know, there's many things you can do now in, you know, downtown in Eagle Rock and in Highland Park and, you know, Los Feliz, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
You know, that... You know, 20 years ago, it was like, that's probably why I was hanging out in Santa Monica a lot, because, you know, you could see the weird art flick, you know?
Yeah, they're like, I mean, if you went to the Santa Monica Promenade, not only did you have, like, 20 movies to choose from, but you could also eat at the greatest restaurant in the world, which was Benita's Frites, which was the French fry place.
Really? I never went there.
Holy shit. Oh, my God. So all of their, like, all they did was make French fries.
Wow.
They just had a little booth. And
where was it?
A bunch of deep fryers. It was actually right next door to the Cineplex on the Promenade.
Okay.
On the last stage right before the mall.
Okay.
And yeah, it was so they would all they did was big thick cut Belgian style fries fried in peanut oil. And they came in a cone. Small, medium, or large cone, and then you got, depending on the cone size, you got dipping sauces with them, and, like, they had a bunch of different really great dipping sauces, a lot of barbecue ones, which I never touched, because I don't like barbecue sauce, but the garlic mayo was amazing. They had a purple basil sauce that was great, like a chipotle sauce, like mostly, you know, like just really interesting. God, what's the word? Just interesting, like dipping sauces. You know, before that was really much as much of a thing as it is now. Like, I feel like they were ahead of their time.
See, because I was on the other end of the promenade a lot, so I was over
where the AMC is, and where the AMC was, where
Sears was.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I was all the way at the other end.
This is gonna be so fucking boring for anyone who doesn't remember.
This is total Santa Monica nostalgia. No, but there was a coffee shop there called Congo Square, which had really, really good teas. They had a really great assortment of teas. So me and my friends would hang out there, get teas, you know, and just smoke cigarettes out on the patio. And it was right across from where Heidi Fleiss had her lingerie store.
Oh, God, yeah.
You remember that?
Oh, yeah, I remember.
I would see her around all the time. And then, of course, there was Nana's, the great clothing store.
Mm. Midnight Special, which...
Oh, I miss that bookstore so much.
Well, no, because Faith was asking me, because her cousin wrote a poetry book, and she was like, "Do you know any feminist queer lit stores that would be interested in having her do a reading?" And I was like, "Fuck, you know, like that's one thing that we really have lost." Like, LA still has, you know, like we still have a few good bookstores. Although I heard one of my favorites, Brand Bookshop, closed in Glendale.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, I heard. I just heard that last week, but. Which is where I got your birthday present, actually, last year.
Yes. I still have to read one of them, too.
Yeah. All the bookstores we have are just sort of, like, general bookstores, but you kind of miss out on having, like, an anarchist political, you know, like, leftist political bookstore.
Yeah, that's why I really miss Midnight Special, and I remember being there the week they closed, and it was just so sad. It was this pall of depression throughout the whole store.
Yeah. It was a huge store, too. It was really big. Like, it had a great, great selection, and was mostly, mostly political and sociology books, but they had a decent fiction section too.
No, they had a really good fiction section too. I mean, like they had a good music section also. It was quite remarkable. I spent way too much money there that I didn't have.
Yeah.
Let's see. We were also going to talk about Tara Reid and her Renaissance, but I don't feel like talking about that bitch right now.
We can talk a little bit about TV. I've been watching a lot of. I just started watching a show called Black Mirror, which is a British sci-fi TV series, and you at very least have to find and download the first episode, because I think you'll like it.
Okay. I heard good things about that, and I finally I caught the pilot episode of Hannibal.
Oh yeah.
And it's interesting.
Oh, you have Prime, right?
No, I don't anymore.
Oh,
no, crap. I let that lapse. But I have the first season though. So
cool. Yeah. No. I think you'll like that. And then I can, next time I see you, I can help you watch the second season.
No, I mean, I'm fully capable myself. Thank you.
Oh, good.
I know how to do things.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I have them all.
Oh, you're so sweet. No, and I finished The Return. Did I say that last
yeah.
time? Yeah, so I finished that series. So that's really, really interesting take on the zombie genre.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. And You're a Liar. You did watch the Emmys. I did see you tweeted.
I watched about an hour of it to see if Lizzie would win, and sort of got sucked into a lot of the weirdness of the Emmys. Like, God, it's such a bad show, and it sort of illustrates what is terrible about all award shows, that, you know,
it's a big circle jerk.
Well, not only is it a big circle jerk, but like, you know, like, look, there are definitely some deserving people who win, but overall, it's just so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
The things that win are so stupid. Modern Family winning, you know, for
whatever. I've never seen an episode of Modern Family.
I've never got through an episode. It's not, like, it's not terrible, but it's just, I mean, if you think that that's the best comedy on TV, you're fucking insane.
Yeah, and then there was, and the only notable thing I remember is Gwen Stefani just fucking up, Steve Bear's name. You know, go Anaheim school system. Let's see. But, you know, the Emmys, Schmemmys, whatever. And here's something you really want to talk about. So we're going to get a little sportsy here. But you wanted to talk about Puig's love song to Scott Van Slyke.
It's just such a great moment.
So if you go to the webpage, bnjpodcast.com, if you go to the entry that this podcast is located, I have a link of this video where you can watch. I think I'll probably embed it also because it's embeddable for your enjoyment. But go ahead.
I mean, there's nothing really to say other than that it is Yasiel Puig in the arms of...
Scott Van Slyke.
And just sort of like lip syncing, and it seems like he doesn't know what the lyrics are, but he's you know, able to sort of like mouth close to them and also does sort of like the drum part.
You know,
and it's just adorable.
It's infectious, and you see him just sort of getting more and more used to American life, you know, living in America. And you see the childlike enthusiasm in his eyes. And it just makes me wonder that the people who really dislike him, you know, these baseball rules people, oh, he's not playing the right way. You wonder if they see these sorts of him in these moments and what they're thinking, because you're right, it's adorable, it's very endearing, and you see a human side of him that you don't normally see with other athletes, which is endearing.
And you saw it, like, I saw it a lot last year, too, with him and Uribe, where they were, like, they have this really neat little, friendship.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just kind of, like, it's great to see, because, I don't know, I love watching him. Every time I've caught a game this season, it's just been great to watch him. He seems to be having more fun than anyone else out there.
And, you know, that's such a better thing than all these other stories that we've been dealt with. Like, on Monday, there was a story of the USC cornerback, Josh Shaw. He fell out a second-story window, and he claimed it was to save his nephew from drowning out in Palmdale.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, we have the entire cynicism of that, you know, is it even real, you know, oh, that's fake, and it turns out it was a fake story. And so there's just so much cynicism around, especially in sports now.
They haven't actually said what happened, though, right?
No, they have not said what exactly happened. There's a rumor that he was in an argument with his girlfriend, the cops were called, he heard the cops, and jumped out the window. So, I mean, who knows what that's all about. The one thing about that story that I didn't understand was why USC publicized it to begin with. Because a normal injury reports, they'll just say, oh, this person's injured, he'll be out for blah, 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 you know, whatnot, you know. With this one, they released this very heroic press release. Oh, Josh Shaw, he saved his nephew from drowning. He risked life and limb to do this. And it turned out to be bullshit. So,
yeah.
You know, why even put that out to begin with? That's my question.
No, And it's a good one.
So I think we're going to wind things up here because we don't want to make it too long. Because if so, I could talk about how my Chelsea team almost fucking killed me today with their 6-3 win in Everton. And college football, which is all I've been watching today. So, but we're going to end it here.
How is it, though?
Oh, it's fun. Yeah. It's the first week. I mean, you can't really tell much, but nothing too remarkable yet. So we'll wait. It'll get good.
Well, good.
Yeah, that's all I'll say about that.
No, we kept it a reasonable length. Just so you remember and we have it on tape, I'm not going to be available for next week's podcast. I don't know if we'll skip a week or not, but...
No, I might do something. I might do a full music mix.
Huh. Okay, cool. And then yeah, we'll be I will be back for the next week. So.
Yes.
And hopefully we can do that one in person.
Yeah.
Hopefully this sounds better than last week's, but I would still like to do them in person, because I feel like I can, you know, sort of suck some of your energy off a little bit more, like a psychic vampire.
Oh, I have none. I woke up way too fucking early this morning. I'm dead tired. Like, I'm ready to nap. Anyhow, so follow us on, or like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, at Jimmy Bramlett, at Walrus Master. And we will end things with another little retro song. Here is Faith No More with Epic. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Can you feel it? See it? Hear it today. If you can't, then it doesn't matter anyway. You will never understand it because it happens to fast. And it feels so good inside. In the glass, it's so cold, so hip, it's alright. It's so groovy, it's out of sight. You can touch it, smell it, taste it so sweet, but it makes no difference because it's not your fault. You want it all, but you can't have it. Crying, bleeding, lying on the floor, so you.